Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We come today to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. So get your Bible if you can. Open it up to Revelation chapter 11. We'll pick it up in verse 15 in just a minute. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. You can study the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, verse by verse from start to finish, or any book of the Bible that you want to study at any time, at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages. In fact, you can go through the whole Bible, three complete series going through the Bible, spanning a period of archives that last over 30 years of my teaching. So you can study the Word of God for a long, long time at thebibleversebyverse.com. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It says that the kingdom, and this is a future time, the voices in heaven say the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God. Well, you know, the world has always belonged to God. This has always been God's kingdom. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. But here we see the Creator is at last asserting his right as Creator and taking possession of his world. And what this is talking about is that the rebellion is over. The sinful rebellion that has lasted for thousands of years has come to a screeching halt. Never again will there be any rebellion against God. Never again will people do their thing, do things their way instead of God's way. Why? Because the time of testing has come to an end with most of mankind failing that test. The only ones who have passed are those who have repented of their sins, received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, submitted to his Lordship, and started living for God. The rest of mankind has failed. The time of testing is over. This thing is done. And things have changed. Things will change. And they will change permanently. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So look at verse 17. Actually, verse 15, I'm sorry. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshiped God. The saints in heaven just so thrilled that this time of testing is over and God is asserting his ownership of the creation, just as it was in the beginning. They are so glad that evil has run its course. Things will be the way God always intended them to be. On the new earth that he will shortly create, and in the heavens. Verse 17. What were they saying? They fell down, they worshiped God. It's before the throne of God in heaven. Remember, these 24 elders represent the church, okay? What do they say in their worship? 17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. This thing's over. The rebellion is over. The evil has run its course. We are so happy that we don't have to be a part of this sinful world anymore. You've asserted your authority, God, and you've done what we prayed that you would do for a long, long time. So they praise God for that. And it says in verse 18, that the nations were angry. Well, yeah, I suppose they were. The nations were angry. Talking about the sinners of the world, they're angry. They're angry because God has stopped them from sinning. He's put an end to it. They're not going to do it anymore because they're going to end up in hell. And every sinful craving that they have had and that they refuse to repent of, they will still have it, but they won't be able to satisfy it because they'll be too busy screaming in torturous pain in the lake of fire forever and ever, going on forever. So they're angry. They're angry because they can't sin anymore. And they're also angry because of what the people in heaven are praising God for. He's taking control and he's judging them. And they're not going to get away with their sins. They're not going to be able to sin anymore. Plus, they're not getting away with their past sins. The fools, the stupid, idiotic, moronic, ungodly fools. They were angry because God didn't let them get away with their sin. They would have been a lot wiser to be angry at themselves for being such fools in that they rejected God's mercy through his son, Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness that they could have received but decided not to. They would have been a lot smarter if they would have been angry at themselves. And instead, they're angry at God. Because why? Because he won't let them sin anymore. And he's not going to let them get away with their sin. Poor babies. Too bad for you. Notice 18 again. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy saints, the prophets, and to them that fear thy name, small and great. Let's just stop there for a second. Time for judgment. God's wrath, according to this verse, is going to come on the wicked, on those who refuse to repent. God's wrath is going to come. It's crystal clear. God says it. You know, this verse does not have to be interpreted. Just read it, okay? Because God could not be any clearer. Only a sin-loving fool deceives themselves into believing that since they haven't been punished yet, they never will be punished. It says right here, the time of God's judgment has come. It's coming. Don't fool yourself into thinking because you haven't been punished for your sins yet, you never will. You know what kind of pathetic logic that is? You know, there are only two types of motorcycle riders in the world. Those who have spilled their motorcycle and those who will. There are only two types of radio announcers in the world. And I know this by experience. But I know this. This is a common saying. It's true. It's very true. There are only two types of radio announcers in the world. Those who have accidentally left their microphone on and talked without knowing it, and those who will. I mean, it's just inevitable. And there are only two types of impenitent sinners in the world. Those who have been judged by God and those who will be. Why? Because God's wrath comes. Verse 18. And the nations were angry. Notice. And thy wrath has come, or is come. And the time of the dead, that they shouldest be judged. The dead will be judged. The dead will be judged. Anyone who thinks that everyone who dies goes through that comfortable tunnel that so many people speak of, they just kind of glide peacefully through that comfortable tunnel on their way to eternal happiness, regardless of how they lived on earth, regardless of whether they repented and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not. Anybody who believes what those people, and I'm not saying they didn't experience it, I'm just saying it's a deception that they have experienced. And anyone who swallows that hook, line, and sinker has taken the devil's bait. And they have swallowed one of the biggest lies that the deceiver, Satan himself, has ever perpetrated on the human race. It simply is not true. God says it's not true. It doesn't happen that way. It is appointed unto man to die once. And after that, God says, the judgment. Everyone is going to be judged. And if you don't have, if you're going to be judged, and if you do not have Jesus Christ acting as your advocate, saying, Father, this one is mine. I died on the cross to pay for his sin, and he or she received me as Lord and Savior. If you don't have that Jesus Christ, the one advocate, the one mediator between God and man, acting on your behalf on Judgment Day, you aren't going to make it. The nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them who destroy the earth. Those who destroy the earth, they're going to be punished. You say those who cause air pollution? No. Not because they cause air pollution. Those who drive a gas-guzzling car? No. Ah, those who threw their cigarette butts on the ground. No. That's not what it means by destroying the earth. Mankind is not going to destroy the earth by polluting it, by throwing their cigarette butts on the ground. Ah, Moret's in favor of cigarette butts on the ground. No. I'm just saying this whole thing has been overblown. Okay? That man is going to bring the destruction of the earth by the hairspray that they use, or by the cars that they drive, or by the fact that they use an outboard motor in their boat when they go fishing. Forget it. It's not true. Those who destroy God's world destroy God's world. And what he is talking about here, they do it by their sin. And those who reject, or those who destroy God's world, his creation, his beautiful creation, by their sin and don't regret it one bit, are going to get their just dues from the Creator. God created this world to be enjoyed by man, to be used by man. God gave man the command to subdue the earth. The earth has been cursed by sin. Part of the judgment on man and all of nature for their sin, for man's sin, is that this earth is cursed. Man is supposed to subdue the earth and make it a better place to live. And while there are abuses, for the most part, man has made this world inhabitable by his presence, by subduing the earth. But sin has worked to destroy God's creation. God created this world to be enjoyed by man. But man, by their sin, has ruined this world and made life miserable for many people. Not by air pollution, although that can be a problem. But by their sin, they have ruined this world and this life for many people by their sin. You know what I'm talking about. If you got to be around bad, sinful people who are always doing sinful things, they ruin your life. And that's what he's talking about. The people who did that, they will be judged. If a person, we all fall into that category. The only ones who will get away with it on Judgment Day are those who belong to Christ because they've been forgiven. But if a person doesn't feel bad about their part in this great evil of destroying God's world through their sin, if they don't care enough about the evil that they have done to repent, and if they reject God's offer of mercy through his son, Jesus Christ, there's only one place left for these people. There's only one punishment suitable for this great evil that they refuse to repent of, and that's the fires of hell, where they will be forever and ever. Verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderclaps and an earthquake and great hail. Another massive show of power. Just in case there are still people out there who think that God is all talk and can't really back up his threats. Let's go into the next chapter. Let's go into chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. The birth of the Savior is in view here. Verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. The dragon is representative of the devil. He is called in Scripture the great dragon. So this is the devil. The 10 horns speak of his perfect power, or his great power anyway. He's no match for God. Let me say that right up front. He's got a lot of power. He's no match for God, but we are no match for him. You mess around with the dragon, he'll kill you. You try to outwit the devil, he'll destroy you. You get close to Satan, he'll kill you. Verse 4, and his tail, talking about the devil, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Let's stop right there for a second. This is talking about the rebellion of Lucifer and how he was thrown out of heaven, how he rebelled against God and the consequences of that rebellion. When Lucifer rebelled, his tail drew one third of the stars out of heaven. That's talking about one third of the holy angels. So when Lucifer rebelled against God, he convinced one third of the holy angels, he convinced them to rebel with him. He's a slick talker. And if Satan can slick talk angels into thinking that they can defeat God, having been in the very presence of God, if he can slick talk one third of the angels into believing that they can get away with rebelling against God, that they can defeat God, then the devil can slick talk human beings into anything. And he does. He is so good at what he does. So shrewd, so slick. He can so easily talk human beings into thinking that bad is good and good is bad. He can make error appear to be truth and truth appear to be error. His ability to amaze, I should say his ability to deceive, is amazing. And that's why we must line all things up with the standard. And that standard, would be the written word of God. Don't necessarily believe your eyes. Don't necessarily believe your ears. Don't go with your feelings. Measure everything, absolutely everything, up against the word of God to see if it's true or false, right or wrong. No matter how right something may seem, it is just the devil's deception if it goes against the Bible. God has given us the standard. His word is that standard. And he tells us to judge all things. People say, oh, we should not judge. You're out of your mind. Okay, I can understand the world, lost sinners saying, we should not judge. Let them say what they want to say. They're in spiritual darkness. But what really irks me is when we have modern evangelicals say, well, we're not the judge. Something is sinful. It's so sinful. It's staring them right in the face. It is so crystal clear in Scripture that God calls it an abomination. It's sinful. It's vile. It's evil. And these modern evangelicals say, well, we're not to judge. Well, you fool. God says that we are to judge. Judge all things. Test all things. Reject that which is evil. Cling fast to that which is good. What do you mean you're not supposed to judge? You know who says that stuff? People are too afraid of offending sinners. And they are just disgusting. No wonder Jesus said, I'm going to vomit them out of my mouth. And it says in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, you probably know what this is talking about if you know the Christmas story. Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he tried to kill him. Remember? He used King Herod as his hitman, trying to kill the Savior right after he was born. Herod was a willing servant of the devil, whether he realized it or not. In order to try to get at the newborn king, he killed every baby boy from 2 years old and under. An absolute slaughter. It was the devil's attempt to kill Jesus, the Son of God, just like it's predicted right here. He didn't want Jesus. He didn't want God in his world because since mankind sinned, Satan was pretty much calling the shots. He was having a great time getting people to sin. The devil was having a great time getting people to rebel against God and then rejoicing after they died and were sent to hell. He didn't want God on earth, a part of his creation, messing up his plans, driving out devils, curing people that he had made sick. Satan was having too much fun, using people as a pawn, deceiving them into sinning, deceiving them into thinking that they were right with God, and then laughing as they're thrown into hell after they died. He didn't want Jesus in his world, messing up his plans. He tried to kill him. But notice, verse 5, and she, that woman, she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. In spite of all of his efforts, Satan failed to murder Christ until the time was right, until the time had come. When Jesus said, no one takes my life, I give it up of my own free will. He died on the cross to pay for man's sins and to destroy the devil. And Satan went along with it the whole while. He entered Judas. He got betrayed as Jesus. You get 30 pieces of silver out of the deal. Satan thought it was the perfect plan. I'll send Judas to hell. Judas will go to hell. Plus, I'll kill the Savior. I'll get him out of this world one way or another. We'll get him out. We'll have him crucified. The fool. Sorry. But boy, was he, the deceiver was tricked. Because when he had Jesus put to death on the cross, that was fulfilling Old Testament scripture, and Jesus paid for man's sin and defeated the devil. And now Jesus, like it says here in verse 5, let's read it again. She brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Jesus rules by his word, and his word is a rod of iron. Oh boy, I give out the word of God and it starts pounding people. It hits sinners over the head. It hits impenitent sinners over the head and it gives them a headache. They don't like it. That's why they turn me off, or that's why they get angry at me, or that's why they turn me off and they go find some feel-good preacher who just gives them a soft, nice little sermon. It waters down the word of God, if they use it at all, because God's word is like an iron rod, and Jesus rules by his word. That means his word is the rule of conduct, and it is not flexible. It is a rod of iron. You know one thing about a rod of iron? You don't bend it. And if somebody's going to rule by a rod of iron, that means it's inflexible. His ruling is inflexible. And it is. God's word rules. What it says is right is right. What it says is wrong is wrong. It's a rod of iron. It's black and white. It's just the way it is. And Jesus is ruling all people today. And that's what I mean. He keeps track of everyone's actions. And then on judgment day, he will give everyone what they have coming and compare everything that everyone has done with the written word of God, and they will all get what's coming as measured by the rod of iron that he rules with. You know, I can't help it. I'm giving you the truth. And I can't help it. If most people do not respond to God's word correctly, there's nothing I can do about that. But I better teach it correctly in order to at least give people that option. And I better do it right. And I better not fail. And I better not water it down to make impenitent sinners feel comfortable or lukewarm Christians feel comfortable. I better not do that. I better deliver this word in a very clear, understandable, straightforward way and let God's rod of correction do its work and give people an opportunity to respond to the truth and repent of all evil. Because if I don't, not only will they be in trouble with God, I will be in trouble with God. And I'd rather not be liked by a bunch of lukewarm evangelicals or by a bunch of impenitent sinners. I would rather be hated by them than disappoint God. Because you know who else I'm going to be liked by? People like you who watch us all the time or listen to us all the time and love the truth. That's who I minister to. That's who I want to please. You better believe it. So you know what? I got to stop. We'll pick it up, and still got a little bit of unfinished business here in chapter 12, verse 5. So we'll pick it up right here next time. But I do want to remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Continue studying the Word of God with me. Do it at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. While you are there studying God's Word, if it is a blessing to you, if you appreciate God's Word, I pray that you would want to be a part of this ministry. Please remember that I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination, but I depend totally, completely on people like you. If you want to be a part of this ministry, then pray for me, would you? Please, please pray for me. Please pray for this ministry. Please pray for the Word of God. And also prayerfully, click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. And help me get out the Word of God. Stand shoulder to shoulder with me in this very important ministry of teaching the whole counsel of God. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Thanks for spending this time with me. So long.